Take your Bibles tonight and turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. We will finish this chapter tonight. And last week we talked about the ministry of John the Baptist in a message called The Voice. And we need to listen to God's messenger. In verses 15 and 18, we find out that John knew for whom he was witnessing. You know, there's times that we don't really know what we're doing. But with God, you know, you should know what you're doing. Because we need to do truth. We see his decision. We see his declaration of Christ's position, of Christ's power. That he's going to baptize with power. He's more worthy than we are. His discernment of something better and of something bigger. You know, God's got everything beyond us. In verses 19 through 24, John, who knew who he was when he was challenged by critics, and when he was challenged on what authority he was doing these things, why is he out there in the wilderness baptizing? And he accepted God's purpose scripturally because he fulfilled the prophecy in Isaiah, and then also spiritually because he was led by the Spirit. In verses 25 and 28, John knew what he was doing. Because he executed God's word. Folks, there's nothing, you can do nothing wrong by doing what the Bible says. You could do nothing wrong if you're in God's will. If you're being led by the Spirit. It says be filled with the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So he executed God's word. He expected God's work. He did all these things not on a pipe dream, but he knew that God had told him he's going to see the Christ. He was going to see the Messiah. And then he esteemed God's worth. He knew that he was unworthy. And God was always worthy. And then lastly, in verses 29 through 34, John knew who he was looking for. You've got to be looking to find Christ. He's not going to appear. He can, like in Paul's case. But really, if we're not interested in God, you're not interested. You're not going to be looking for him. And so you will know when you find Christ because you'll understand your position. And John did it with humility. You'll know when you find Christ because you're doing the will of God. You know when you find Christ because in John's case it was going to be revealed by the Holy Spirit that he's going to see Christ. It was going to be the one that he sees the Holy Spirit descending on. He's the Son of God. And then once you find Christ, once you know who you are, once you know what your mission is, you need to tell somebody about it. And that's verse 34. So tonight I got a one-word title for this message. A one-word title for this message as we close out chapter 1. And it's willing. And it's willing. And the central point tonight is willing, but will you? Willing, but will you? And we're going to be looking at verses 35 through 51 tonight. So on the passage, we're continuing the story of John the Baptist and now his disciples. And we just preached a message on this. It says in verse 35, it says, again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And here was the message. He saith unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the tenth hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth unto Galilee and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew, and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, his brother, and saith unto him, We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou was under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. So tonight there's three things that we need to look at this passage and ask ourselves, are we willing? The first one is found in verses 35 through 40. Are we willing to dare? Are we willing to dare? Are we willing, in verses 35 through 37, to leave the familiar? So what we have here is we have John and Andrew following John the Baptist. And now we know that they were John the Baptist's disciples. And you know, when we start following someone, it becomes normal to us. It becomes safe to us. It becomes a comfort to us. We don't even think of leaving. And so the issue is these two, in verses 35 through 40, had to go out into the unknown. And they were willing to leave the familiar and go into the unfamiliar. You know, sometimes we just like to be safe. We just like the status quo. Let's not rock the boat. No, we just can't do that. So when are you willing to dare? Well, first of all, when the right day comes. In verse 35 it says, And the next day after John stood. So I'm sure that after they heard John talk that day, they went home and they kind of mulled this over. And they were ready for the message. They were ready for the Messiah to come into their life. Folks, we need to be ready for Christ to work in our lives. We need to be ready. We need to be willing to dare and to leave the familiar and to go out in the unknown when the right day comes. And Ezekiel chapter 39 verse 8 says, Behold, it is come and it is done, saith the Lord God, this is the day whereof I have spoken. And we know that John the Baptist was prophesying and saying, He's coming. He's coming. Every time that Christ is going to appear, even He's coming now, there is a messenger. We're the messengers now. We're the messengers for the second coming of Christ. So they heard John. They were following John. It was great. But now they say, we need to transfer our trust to the one that John was talking about. John himself says, I must decrease and he must increase. So are you willing to dare? Are you willing to be like John and Andrew and leave the familiar when the right day comes? You know, the Bible says, I've heard thee in the time accepted. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Secondly, willing to leave the familiar? Yes, we should be willing to leave the familiar when we hear the right message. They were waiting for the Messiah. and they saw him and they trusted what John was saying. And now they said, he's here, let's go. Folks, we've been waiting for salvation. We get saved. The right day is here. We've been saved. And now, what are we waiting for? There's nothing to wait for. Christ has done what he said he's going to do. He's come into our lives. He's been seen by these two. And now they hear the right message. In verse 36, it says, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. And now John's ministry didn't matter anymore.
Right.
It's all about Jesus.
Yes.
And folks, that's what the ministry should be. Right. It should be all about Jesus. And so the right message is heard. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 8. Talking about prophecy. It says, thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time I've heard thee, in a day of salvation I've helped thee. That's where 2 Corinthians 6:2 comes from. It says, and I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth and to cause to inherit the desolate heritage. Andrew and John were willing to dare. They were willing to leave the familiar because the right day had come. They were willing to dare because they were heard the right message. John and Andrew left the familiar because God leads in a new direction. Because God leads in a new direction. So they stopped following John in verse 37. And it says, and the two disciples heard him speak, and they what? Followed Jesus. See, when God takes us in a new direction, that's the way we need to go. There's no discussion. There's no argument. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him. How? All the way. But do we really mean to do that? That's a dare. Will you go with him all the way out into the unknown? That's where faith happens. That's where faith happens. In Isaiah 42, verse 16, it says, and I will bring the blind by a way they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. John and Andrew are about ready to embark on an adventure. A 3-year adventure walking with Christ. Folks, when we get saved, we're on an adventure. And the life that we live now on this earth should be walking with Christ. And he's going to take us places and do things with us that we don't know about. Because we're a new person. Old things passed away. All things become new. He says, I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do to them, and not forsake them. So, are you willing to dare? Like John and Andrew? Are you willing to leave the familiar? The day's here. We hear the right message. And God leads us into a new way. Are you willing to go the distance? In verses 38 through 40, it says, and Jesus turned and saw them following. So how far are you willing to follow? Well, see, God's watching how you follow. There's a lot of people today that follow out of curiosity. But we should follow out of commitment. They have made a choice. They are willing to dare. They're willing to leave the familiar and go to Christ. They're willing to go out into the unknown. See, the issue is, those that are following Jesus out of curiosity don't hang around long. Those who are committed to him will hang around. Will hang around. 1 John chapter 2, verse 19 talks about this. As they went out from us because they were not of us. Now it's interesting as we have Christ's ministry here. It talks about these crowds and disciples. And then from that time many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. Those 12 still walked. Those 12 still walked. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us from commitment. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. So here in verse 38, then Jesus turned and said unto them, and saith unto him, what seek thee? God knows, God's watching how you follow. Jesus turned around, where are you? Why are you following me? This morning, or tonight, I want to ask this question. Why are you following Jesus? Is it to get fed physically, like the 5,000? Is it just for healing? Is to get you out of some strait that you're in, some rock in a hard place that you're in your life? Or are you willing to follow him because he's called us to something better? He's called us to eternal life. He's called us to follow him spiritually. See, are we following God because of curiosity? Or are we following God because of commitment? They were willing to dare and willing to go the distance, no matter how long it took or how far it was going. God is wanting you to make the choice. Okay? So they ask the question. And they say, where dwellest thou? And what did Christ answer? He said, come and see. Those are two commands. Those are two choices. The first one is that John and Andrew willing to go. And we talked about the word for come actually means to go and do something else. So the first one is follow me. And the second thing is a see. But it's a choice. Okay? They had to leave the familiar and go into the unknown. They were willing to dare. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, it says, and then Jesus said to his disciples, a man will come after me. Let him what? Deny himself. That's a choice that we make. Take up his cross. That's what God's given us to do. That's a choice we make. It's a choice that's presented by Christ, but it's a choice that we have to make. Some of us don't want to deny ourselves because we're not willing to dare. Some of us are not willing to take up our cross and go out into the unknown because we're not willing to dare and follow me. Some people just don't want to follow Christ because of too much the cost. Too much the cost. So we see in John and Andrew, we see two people who are willing to dare. Willing to leave the familiar for the unknown. Willing to go the distance to where Christ was and follow him. Secondly, in verses 41 through 45, are you willing to care? Are you willing to care? So, there's two instances here. One with Andrew and one with Philip. And it says here, it says, one of the two, or in verse 41, it says, and that one of the two that heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Verse 41, it says, he first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which be interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah, thou shalt be called a Cephas, which is being interpreted stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, follow me. And look at what Philip did. And now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth who? Nathanael, and saith unto him, we have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. There are several, there are four things here about willing to care that we see in this passage. The first one is, we need to make willing to care, we need to make caring for others a priority. Yes. So they start following Jesus. They spend the night, and then it says the first thing they do is what? They go and they find their brothers. They go and they find their brothers. Folks, we need to make caring for others, we need to make witnessing the priority. That should be the first thing that comes to our mind when we meet somebody new. Galatians 6:10, it says, as we therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. So they were willing to care because they made it a priority, and that was the first thing they wanted to do. The second thing is they made it their perspective. They said, we have what? Both of them said, we found him. Andrew said, we found the Messiah. Philip says, we found him of whom Moses spoke and the prophets, Jesus of Nazareth. We found him. Folks, when you find something good, you want to share it, right? Okay? Sell down at Walmart where cheap gas is. You want to share that information. You know, where's a good restaurant? We got the best information. John and Andrew found them. Philip found him. We got to go and do this. We got to tell somebody about this. Okay? You know, when something is meaningful to us, we want to share it to our friends. There's the issue about witnessing and recovering the lost. There's a parable of the lost sheep. Okay? And when he loses a sheep, what does it? The shepherd goes out and finds him and comes back and tells all of his friends. Then there's the parable of the lost coin. And the woman loses a coin, like we lose a lot of stuff in our house. It just kind of miraculously walks away and don't know where it is. Ever been there? Okay? And getting older makes it worse. And you go and look for it, and you look for it, and you say, you know where that is? It was over there. And you go look at it, it's not there. And you start searching the whole house for it, and then all of a sudden you find it. Yes! I found it! And then you tell everybody. Well, in the lost coin, it says, Luke chapter 15, verse 9, it says, and when she had found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. You know, we need to go find other people. We need to go find people in our families. So rejoice with me. I found eternal life. We found the Messiah. We found Christ. We need to make it a priority. We need to have the proper perspective. And then we see willing to care the prospects. They went to their family first. Both Andrew went to Peter and Philip went to both brothers. Now, I know some families that they don't want to talk to brother. I'll never talk to him again. I'm glad that's not the case here. And so they go and they talk to the family. You know, one of the first things we did on the invitations, the biblical invitations, was come into the ark. And that was a thing that Noah extended to his family. And because Noah accepted God's invitation, he made his family accept God's invitation. Everybody was safe. So the issue is, folks, if we get saved, the first thing we need to do is make sure our family gets saved. Look at the Philippian jailer. What happened to him? His house got saved. Household got saved. What happened to Cornelius? God sent the messenger to Cornelius, but there's a whole bunch of people in there. And they all heard the gospel. He says, it's good news. It's good news. You know, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, we always talk about this as providing physically for our families. But there's a deeper meaning here. Folks, to be an infidel is to be not following the faith. And if we don't take the initiative, if we're not willing to dare, we can't even care for our own family. Well, you know, Paul wrote to Timothy and talked about deacons and leaders in the church. He said, if they can't take care of their own family, how can they take care of the house of God? Right. So let's look at this verse in a spiritual sense. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he is what? Denied the faith. He's denied the faith. So these two, John and Andrew, he goes off to see Peter. Philip, once he finds Christ, boom, off to Nathanael. It was a priority. They had the right perspective. We found something that no one could ever give except God. And we're going to share it. It says, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So, willing to care. It was a priority for them. They first did that. It was a perspective. We found him. And then there was the prospects. It was their brothers. In verses 46 through 51, willing to share. Now, Andrew had a pretty good time. He goes to Peter. Peter comes and talks to Jesus, and Jesus says, your name's now Cephas, should be called a stone. Well, he's probably hard-headed, so that might be appropriate too. But the real issue is that Peter just willingly did this. Now, Nathanael was a different animal, okay? So in verse 46, Philip comes and goes to Nathanael, says, I found him. I found a Messiah. It's what that guy John the Baptist has been preaching about. We've heard about before. But I've seen him in the flesh. He's there. He's there. I found him. And Nathanael says, what? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Now, what do we do when someone puts up a little bit of criticism or opposition to our witnessing? Let me say, oh, never mind. Never mind. No. What did Phillips do? He said, wise guy. Come and see. Come and see. See, the issue is willing to share. The method remains unchanged. Come to God. That's mine. I'm sorry. Okay, let it go. It's going to keep on ringing. Okay? It's in my coat. Okay? The method remains unchanged. Okay? The message, yep, I'm guilty. I'm guilty of the note. Okay? Fine. Okay?
Sounds heavenly.
It does.
Just turn it off.
It's done.
Good. Okay. The second thing is the message of Christ must be heard. Must be heard. We've gone several times over this last couple of weeks about witnessing. But in verses 47, he says, so Philip says what? He says, come and see. It was exactly the same thing that Andrew said. Come and see. It was the exact same thing that Jesus said. Where dwellest thou? Come and see. Come and see. Okay? Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite, indeed, in whom there is no guile. Now, what does Jesus say? He heard what Nathanael said. He said, here's a guy that speaks his mind. Here's a guy that doesn't make things politically correct. Here's a guy that's transparent. Oh, we need people like that today. Verse 48 says, Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Okay? He's curious. How did you know? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou was under the fig tree, I saw thee. God knows exactly where you are today. God knows exactly what you're going through today. God is sending messengers to you. He's sending his truth. You know, like Israel, he says, I keep on sending you prophets. Then Jeremiah says, keep on sending you prophets. Rise up early in the morning and preaching to you. See, the message of Christ must be heard. And it can only be delivered by people who know Christ. In Romans 10:14, it says, how then shall they call on him in whom they not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they not heard? And how shall they hear without a what?
Preacher.
Preacher. And we talked about this. We're all preachers of the gospel. We're all witnesses of the gospel. So, willing to share. The method remains unchanged no matter what happens, what kind of response you get. The message of Christ must be heard. Third, in verse 49, the message of Christ must be heeded. Now, it's interesting that based on what Christ answered Nathanael, Nathanael instantly believed. But that's not unusual. We're going to meet a woman at the well in John chapter 4 where Jesus tells her who she is. And she gets saved right then and there and goes in. What does she do? Runs into the town and tells them, right? What about the woman with the issue of blood? She works through the crowd. She gets there and Christ says, "Who touched me?" And the disciples said, "What? You out of your mind? There's this, all these thousands of people." And what did he do? He looked at her. And he said, "Your faith has made thee whole." See, the message of Christ must be heeded. It says, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel." Oh, if we had that such simple belief right now.
Amen.
But we want to analyze it and intellectualize it and do all these things to make it palatable to us and then we'll follow. No, it's simple childlike faith. It is the simple plan of salvation. You know, another Philip in another place goes to a guy in a chariot out in the middle of nowhere and just tells him about Jesus. Come and see. And in Acts 8:37 it says, "And Philip said, if thou believest all thy heart, thou mayest." And the Ethiopian eunuch right there just heard that one message, that one witness, and he says this. He said, "The answer, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God." Why do we make it so hard? Why do we make it so scary? The method remains unchanged.
Right.
We got to tell someone about it. They're not going to know unless they hear. I'm thankful that Andrew went to Simon, to Peter. I'm glad that Philip went to Nathanael. There's going to be other times that these Greeks are going to come up to these guys, these same two, and said, "We would see Jesus," and they took them there.
Amen.
So the method remains unchanged. The message of Christ must be heard. The message of Christ must be heeded. And then lastly, the message of Christ must be hoped. Must be hoped for. So after Nathanael makes this statement, Jesus reveals himself more. Verses 50 and 51, it says, "Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Just wait. Just wait. You're going to see some incredible things. But you've got to be willing to dare. You've got to be willing to care. You got to be willing to go. And then to the Jews, remember back in Genesis about Jacob and when he's off and he's on his way to Laban, he finds this ladder and he sees what? Angels climbing up and down this ladder between heaven and earth. He's the same God. He's the same disciple. He says here, he says, "Verily I say unto thee, hereafter ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." We see that in Acts chapter 1. So it's going to happen. Didn't happen immediately. But it's going to happen. It's something to hope for. It's something that provides comfort. The message of Christ must be hoped for. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things what? Hoped for. The what? The evidence of things not seen. So three simple points tonight. But here's how they're connected. You will not share unless you care. You will not care unless you dare. Unless you leave the familiar and you step out in faith. Are you willing? Are you willing? Are you willing to follow Jesus? Are you willing to tell others? Are you willing to see your family saved? Are you willing to see God work in your life?